Good morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. It's kind of in the middle of a thought, but it's where I kind of want to focus. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We were listening to a song way from the past. It's called Amazed. And it's talking about how we are so amazed by His love for us. And I know sometimes it's easy in the busyness of life, the crises that we face, the struggles, the losses, the trials, that sometimes we forget how much God loves us, how much His love is poured out for us. So I pray today that as you worship, as we spend time together, as the Holy Spirit fills our hearts in this place, that there would just be an ability for you to comprehend that love that God has for you. That you'd be able to somehow, even though it doesn't make sense, to comprehend how wide, how deep, how long, how high His love is for you. And so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God, not lacking anything in our lives. So Lord, right now, we just ask that we would come into that place, Lord, of truth. That place of truth, Lord, that you love us. You first loved us, Lord. For us to even love you back, Lord, we need to first realize you loved us. And so, Lord, we do. We thank you that your love is abiding here right now. And we pray that your love would be the revelation of this moment today, that we'd realize that we are loved. Not because we're here and because we came to church, Lord, we're loved because you just love us. Even if we had stayed home and stayed in bed, Lord, you would still love us. Thank you, Jesus, for that love.
Shine on darkest nights. To the river, oh, this is for, but I just feel like there's just this deep invitation to do something different with the Lord. I know for myself, I've been in a very dry season, a very tired state for the last little while. And I just feel Him so heavy, ready to replenish and refresh those parts that feel so void, so dry. And I don't think it's by accident that this song came up. I think that there's more of us that are probably feeling the same thing. So I'm just going to give an invitation that if you're feeling in even the least bit weary or needy or dry or just needing something more from the Lord or just wanting to feel Him move differently than we have in a while, I just encourage you to come up to the altar in Jesus' name. Come and allow Him to, like, I feel like when we make space for Him, He's able to move even more mightily than before. Like, He's not restricted by our lack of movement. But there's something that when we partner with Him and we take these invitations and we stir the well, gosh, so much happens. And there's such an invitation. So I just encourage you that if you're needy, if you're weary, if you're dry, if you just want more of the Lord, that you would come up and be in the altar space and allow Him to move in a different way. So if we'll just get back into that, I would love for you to just sing that chorus again.
Sing those for me. Those who are weary, those who are needy.
For you and you. mom taught me and my siblings to swim was throw you in, sink or swim, and she'll be there when you sink, and she'll be cheering you on when you swim, because your natural instinct is to swim. How many of us are just playing in the shallows of the river? We are so afraid to swim in the deep. God is so deep for us, and He's not going to let us drown in that deep. When we are in the deep of Him is when we can receive and be open to more of Him. Playing in the shallows is not what He wants for us. He doesn't want to stick our toe in and go, okay, maybe. He wants us all in. He wants us in the deep with Him. He's not going to let us sink, and He's not going to let us drown. His deep is safe and refreshing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Father, that you burn a blaze in our own, God, that you help us to find our passion in you. Father, I pray that the work that was done this morning, Lord, would just be sealed. In Jesus' name. God, we give you all the glory. We say hallelujah. I just don't feel like he's done. I'm sorry. There's just such an impression. And it's really hard to close. I just feel like there's more. That there's more. So even if there's not a lack in your life, but you just want the more of the Lord, he's here. I encourage you just to come up and take a drink. Because he's not done. said about learning how to be still in that discomfort and being able to press into things a little bit further. Like when it comes to Holy Spirit, the authority that we carry, that authority that God gave us that conquered the grave is in us. And when we make space for Him, the things that we're able to accomplish with Him is incredible. The healings, the releasings, the just being able to birth new things into our city, like with the declarations that we make, there's like life and authority that comes on those things. I just recently heard a message, and it's just been wrecking me, about learning to press in and be uncomfortable and press in some more and becoming a landing strip for the Lord to be able to bring downloads and different things. And I just feel that for our church, that we would be the church that's a landing strip for Holy Spirit to come and do great things. So Father, we give this service to You. Father, we say yes to You. Lord, I thank You for stirring us up this morning. God, I thank You for not letting us just move into other things, God, but just being here for a few minutes with You, Father. Asking in Your glory, allowing our hearts to be stirred anew in this like refreshing outpouring. God, I thank You that You are so faithful and so just to meet the needs of us in this room today. You are so good, so good. And we just give You all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I think all of God's people all together said, amen, amen. Hug a neck, get some coffee, and thank you, worship team.
I'm going to pray real quick for the kids to go downstairs so they can get blessed with the children's time. You guys would come on up. Okay, I'll pray for you as you leave. Lord, we just bless the children. Lord, we pray that You just be with them, Lord, downstairs, and just let them experience Your presence. Lord, we thank You for them, and we thank You, Lord, for the teachers. We thank You, Lord, for all the preparations that's been done, and Lord, we pray that You would just bring increase in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There
we go. All right, we're going to do our declarations as the kids head down. So if you guys would stand with me, we're going to do the declaration over our city. We are going to pray over the Yakima Valley and believe that God is not done, that He is doing something mighty. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do this together on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that You would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that Your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. We thank You, Jesus, for what You're doing, God, what You continue to do, God. We thank You, Lord, for how You're moving, Lord, in every church, Lord, this Sunday morning, God. We thank You, Father, that every home is blessed. We thank You, Jesus, that every city block is blessed, that every corner of the Yakima Valley is blessed. We just praise Your name, and we thank You, God, that You've called us to this city right now at this time, God, and whether we're here for the rest of our lives or we're here for a season, God, that we would make it better than when we found it, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for all this in Your holy name. Amen. 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 We just have just one announcement, and it is the men's barbecue. That is this Wednesday. This Wednesday? This Wednesday, this Wednesday at Zeke Villalobos' house. And so, Pastor, we'll send out that address this week. And again, this is just for men. And so we're going to hang out and have some good food. And it's going to be awesome. And then last but not least, the giving. Thank you for giving. You guys know how you can give in the box here, the box in the back, and online. And yeah, appreciate all your gifts and tithes and offerings.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I have a very different message than what I normally do. This week I had our family had something significant take place, and as I was thinking about the events over the last about 8 years, and in the very beginning of it, I really felt it was really time to give like this full testimony of what took place. And I know it's going to be weird when you see it, because it's like, what's that have to do with God? But hopefully I'll be able to communicate how even the simple things, like even pets in our lives, reflect the kingdom of God and God's love in our life. So today I've entitled the message, Every Detail, every single detail of our life is evident to God, is focused on by God. And we'll see in a verse that even things that would be considered so mundane and so like anything we would ignore and probably do ignore, other than when the ladies go to the beautician to get their hair done, a lot of times we don't realize how much God is thinking about us. Matthew 10:29-30 in the Williams, it says, "Do not sparrows sell for a cent, a piece?" So in other words, they're very cheap. "And yet not one of them can fall to the ground without your Father's notice." And then this scripture, which always just blew me away when I thought about it, "Even the very hairs on your head have all been counted by God." So in other words, every detail of your life is significant to God, that he even is focused on a hair when we lose it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but does that like just like cause you to puzzle a little bit? That how our hair is still significant to him, that he even knows when a hair is lost? So back in 2010, Gay and I became the senior pastors of, at that time, Church on the Move. And the day that we became senior pastors, this isn't the picture of that day, but this little one came into our lives. Name was Missy. And Missy was a dog that Tim had always wanted. And he really didn't care what kind of dog he got. He just wanted a dog. To this day, Tim loves dogs. as a matter of fact, he's looking at getting a dog pretty soon. Those of you who have a dog, you guys now have a dog, right? I mean, they kind of fill in a spot that is sometimes empty that you didn't even know about. And Missy was a crazy dog. I'll just show you a few things here. This is a chew toy that she had. It was kind of like a bone. And she was crazy. Like she would grab the bone and I would pick her up like this. And if I started to try to take the bone, she would then raise her front legs up and her back legs, and she would cling to me like a monkey. And I could literally shake her like this and she would not come off. And she was a piece of work. Here's another thing that kind of shows you a little bit of the craziness of this dog. That was Missy. I mean, she was wired. She would literally, that toy, she would literally, if we put it on at the top of the piano that we had at home, she would literally figure out how to get up on the bench, how to get up, and we would actually leave it up so she'd start walking on the keys. She'd walk on the keys, jump up. I mean, she is like stretching to also to get that little toy, and she would get it. And she was like a part of the family. And, you know, that's what these animals and these dogs become. And so this is back in 2014, maybe 2013. And I had suffered from kidney stones, which I do not recommend men. It's the closest thing, I guess, to what women feel when they're pregnant. And I had just suffered this last kidney stone. It must have been the last one I passed. We were over, headed to the beach, Jesse, Gay, and I. Tim wasn't able to make it that time, but we took Missy. And you probably noticed the little cone on her head. I'll explain that in a minute. And so what ended up happening is we got to the beach. I wasn't able to even help them unload. I was writhing in pain down in the basement on the bed, just rolling back and forth. And I had I thought, well, I know women get into some, they have birth in hot water, run hot water. And I got in the hot water and it seemed to help subside. And you could literally see these ripples from the pain and the spasms I was having of the pain. So I was exhausted. And so I just kind of went over and laid down in this chair. We'd never been to this place that we were renting. And unbeknownst to me, because I was so out of it, Missy pulled up in my lap and she did not leave me. She stayed there the whole time. It was hours, you know, like 3 or 4 hours. And we have another picture of like she's perched up, you know, after I started waking up, like, okay, I've been here with him the whole time. But you notice that cone on her head, she developed some kind of a syndrome that she had to scratch. And she literally was tearing her hair out, ripping her skin. And she got to the place, you see, she's wearing like a baby's, you know, onesie, and we had to put that on her, or otherwise she would literally just be red and bleeding. And we tried everything. We tried meds that the doctors had and everything. So finally we decided, because she was in such pain and miserable, she wasn't like that spinning dog that you saw, she was always miserable, we had to put her down. And it was a hard day. It was a very hard day for Tim and I. Gay wasn't quite as attached to Missy that Tim and I were, but it was like for 3 or 4 days, Tim and I were bummed. And, you know, it's like, you know, part of you is missing a little bit. You know, they become attached to you. And it was really weird, because towards the end of her life, it's almost like I could tell that she knew that it was time for this suffering to end. And I would talk to her, you know, like I talked to you. It was very weird. And I was saying like, you know, love you, and communicating to you. And it's almost like, I don't know if it was like a level of different spiritual understanding that I had, but I had a feeling like this dog was really connected with me, more than just your dog that you feed, but like heart to heart, spirit to spirit. And so when we put her down, she like looked at us, and you know, any of those of you that have done it, it's hard. They'll let you go out and you don't have to be there, but for some reason we're I get a glutton for punishments, and we stay during the process. So it says here in Luke 12:6, and not sparrows sold for for 2 cents, and yet not one of them is forgotten by God. So Missy was special to God, just as she was special to us. Declarations you can make, and it's like you say, well, we'll never have a dog again. And that's what we said. We'll never have a dog again. You know, because it's like, you know, when you lose a dog, then you've had to have someone watch your dog, and you've had to, you know, like, okay, we can't go on vacation right now because, you know, something's going on with the dog. And we didn't always like having dog sitters. There was people that we trust Missy with, but sometimes you couldn't get hold of them. So there was like all those dynamics, you know, and so we said, we're not going to have any more dogs. Well, how many know that God sometimes can have other plans than what we have, even when it comes to animals? If you had told me that before Missy, I probably would have said, nah, you know, circumstances happen, situations happen, but I'm here to tell you that God is working in us, and he's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And sometimes he'll use animals to do that. You know, there's this story in the Bible, and it's radical, because this prophet named Balaam, who wasn't a Jew, but he heard from God. And I don't know what other things he was involved in. Obviously, he had some kind of connection with God, but he also maybe also dealt with, you know, the dark side. But he had heard from Yahweh, he had heard from Jehovah, that he got permission to go and with these individuals who had come from this king, because this king said, I want you to come and curse the Israelites. And what ends up happening is he said, I'm going to ask God first. And first God says, no. And then he told him, no, I can't go with you. You know, Yahweh said, no. And then he says, well, ask again, you know, and says, I'll ask again. So he asks again and God says, yes. So on the way, God sends an angel to kill Balaam. It's kind of a mystery. You don't know really why, because it seemed like God told him to go. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe it's like he said, oh, I think he said yes. Maybe we don't know. But whatever it was, he was going to kill him. So his donkey, being a good donkey, was trying to get out of the way of this angel with this flaming sword that was going to probably whack his head off. And so he's going up against this wall, and he's almost crushing Balaam's leg, and he starts beating this donkey, mad. And so God opens up this donkey's mouth. The donkey says, why are you beating me? I'm always good to you. You know, I've always taken care of you. He goes, because you're making me. And the Balaam talks back to the donkey, you're hurting me. It's like, and so finally the God opens up and he sees this angel and realizes donkey was trying to help him. He's trying to help him do what pleases God. Trying to get him to realize it's not all about money, Balaam. So we made this declaration. We're not going to have another dog. And Gay's Aunt Vera was passing away. This was back in September, I believe it was 2017. And her dog needed to be taken care of while she was in the hospital. And I'd seen this dog over at Aunt Vera's house, and this dog's name was Sweet Pea, and she wanted nothing to do with men. So I mean, hi, she's like runs right past you, but ladies come in, she was like all over them, and Kay taught her these different tricks and stuff. And I just tried to even pet her and she just walked away. So I found out that we had to take Aunt Vera to the hospital, and they thought it was just, some procedure or something that she needed, but she needed her dog taken care of. So Gay and Kay ended up staying at the hospital almost full time with them. So I was taking care of the dog. And so I'm like, trying to get the dog to do one of the tricks. And the stupid trick that Kay taught her is she would put her head down on her paw. She put her legs down, almost like she's bowing. And then she put her butt up in the air and you would scratch her butt. And she did it to this day. It was like a way of her saying, you're my friend and you love me and I love you. And so what ended up happening is all this week, I'm trying to get her to come. Do I pet her? She's wanted nothing to do with me. I was a guy, right? Why would I pay attention to you? And so what ended up happening, this was a Friday, and it was basically one of those deals where at the hospital, they say there's nothing more we can do. And Aunt Vera, I don't think, wanted to, for whatever reason, die in the hospital. So they were going to take her to hospice. And I was actually up at the hospital at this time. And so we said, okay, we're going to go ahead and we'll meet her over at hospice. So they had an ambulance come and get her. I was going to go to the store and get us some food because you never know how long you're going to be there. And Gay was going to go back to the house and let Sweet Pea out because she hadn't been out all morning. So this is kind of where I want you to get realize that every detail of our lives is like significant to God. Even the moment of just taking a dog out to go to the bathroom. So we normally took Sweet Pea over in what was considered the closest part of the yard that was by the parking lot and not by the street. Sweet Pea, for some reason, ran over towards the street And she was on a lease. Okay, like, okay, we're going over here. I don't know why you want to go over here. We always go over, during the week, that's where she was going. And so what ended up happening is she was out in the yard and she started freaking out. And Gay, I wasn't there. Gay says that what she started to do was run around her like a horse. And so she's like almost galloping. And Gay's like on this, what are you doing? And she's like, just going crazy. And all of a sudden, she like stopped and then she darted out and hit the end of her leash. And you know how you clothesline yourself? Fell back on her. Oh, baby, what are you doing? This, like, what is this dog freaking out? Well, no sooner than she did that, all of a sudden, the ambulance was coming down the street that was carrying Aunt Vera. Yes, uh-huh. And so she did it again, got all excited and everything. And then, the ambulance passed on by and then she settled down and they went back in the house. So we get to hospice and Aunt Vera had already passed away. Kay said, you guys got to come because, she didn't make it. Well, lo and behold, Kay was in the back of the ambulance with Aunt Vera. She was traveling with her. And she said that as she was passing by the house, our house, because, the hospital is just down the street, Aunt Vera passed. So that dog somehow knew that her master that she had all those years had passed. And so we went and, you do all the things, make the plans, and, and then she went to be with the mortuary. We came back home and, hi, sweet pea, saw her and everything and didn't think anything of it at all. So I wasn't feeling well. I don't know what maybe like some kind of mild flu or just a cold, or maybe it was like early allergies. I don't know, but I wasn't feeling well the next morning on Saturday. And so I was sleeping in, which is unusual. So Gay was already up. Well, she said that this dog, Sweet Pea, was looking down the hall like this, like every 20 minutes, like looking down the hall, like standing there. And Gay's like, what are you doing, Sweet Pea? Come on back. It's like so she'd come over, sit down again. Sure enough, she'd go back down the hall, just keep looking down the hall. So finally, I came out. And she's like, she kind of, walks over, hi, Sweet Pea, good morning, how are you, So this is what happened. On her deathbed, she asked Gay, will you take care of my baby? Now, Sweet Pea didn't know this. And Gay reluctantly, because she loved her Aunt Vera, said, yeah, we'll take care of her. We hadn't planned on another dog 3 months before. We just put ours down. And so she had already talked to her sister, Cindy, and Cindy was going to take Sweet Pea, so we didn't have to have her. And so Gay was telling me that, and so I sat down in the chair, and Sweet Pea came over to me. I said, hi, Sweet Pea. It's like never paid hardly any attention to me. So she looked up at me, she put her head down, and she put her butt up in the air. I scratched her butt. I said, what is going on? She not only did that, and then she jumped up in my lap. And I said, honey, what is happening here? She says, I think you just connected with her. So this is Sweet Pea. And she had very, very unique tendencies. One of them was not so unique. Other dogs do it. But she shed literally, I don't know if you have those vacuums, literally you would just vacuum just a smaller, and you'd literally have to change it because there was that much hair. This is one of the things that she did. She would do this little thing. She'd put her, yeah. She was a Sweet Pea. My dad fell in love with her. He came and started living with her in 2018, and he fell in love with her. He would feed her and everything. But this dog was my dog. Everybody knew it. She went from being a woman's dog to a man's dog. And she went from being, Aunt Vera's dog to my dog. And she chose me. Remember that God is working in us to give us the desire and the power to please him. And sometimes he uses animals. Sometimes he uses our kids. Sometimes he uses our workplace. Sometimes he uses tragedy in our life. So this week, we had to put Sweet Pea down. Yeah, Monday. And she's 15 and a half. So everybody said, oh, wow, that's old for a dog. She didn't look it. This is what she looked like a month ago. That's her having a cappuccino. And we got her one of those on the way to the vet. She wouldn't even eat it. So she was already feeling really, really bad. She started having what's called congestive heart failure. And so her heart started enlarging. And what it was doing, it was enlarging so much, it was putting pressure on her lungs. And so we were seeing her miserable. And it was a hard decision. I mean, I was just waiting for somebody to talk me out of it. You know, don't do it, Pastor Mike. Don't do it. You know, everybody who saw her said, yeah, you have to. And so we had to put her down. And when I did, it brought me back to the memory of her choosing me. A supernatural event took place. God was saying that we needed to have her in our lives for some reason. And I'm sure someday I'll realize all the blessing that she was to us, beside the hair. All the love that we received. Maybe we received an angel in our home, for all I know, because of her. Something supernatural took place in a simple thing of getting a pet. And I want us to know that God is involved in every area of our life. Significantly, all the time, if we could just open our eyes and see it, if we could pay attention. It says here that the steps of a man are established, or a woman, are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. The NIV says it this way: the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. When we lost Missy, had to put her down, God already knew we would have Sweet Pea. So it says in Romans 8:28, the Williams, yes, we know that all things go on working together for the good of those who keep on loving God, who are called in accordance with God's purpose. I believe that Sweet Pea was part of that. When we lost Missy, that it was going to be working together for our good to have Sweet Pea. And after Sweet Pea, I don't know what the Lord has for us, but he's going to cause it, as it says in the Complete Jewish Bible. Furthermore, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called in accordance with his purpose. So the enemy may mean evil against us. He may have a determination in what he's doing to steal, kill, and destroy, or whatever he's trying to do in our lives. But if we love God and we are called according to his purpose, and I believe the main purpose for us, and it says it down below, is that we're conformed to the image of Jesus. That is the purpose that we're left here after we're saved. We're not just here just to live a life. We're here to become more like Jesus. And God uses all kinds of things in our lives to be more like Jesus. I believe Sweet Pea was given to me to become a little more like Jesus. Maybe to learn some patience. It's so funny. I would go out, you know, when we lived over at the parsonage, I would go out and change the water. And I'd come back in, and I'd be gone sometimes for 5-10 minutes. And Sweet Pea would be standing at the door. I said, dude, you've got like fatal attraction stuff, you know. You just like, and that's where when I walk, you know, into the room, and there was a whole bunch of people that were visiting, and she's like 11, she'd look up like, is it okay if I let them? Yeah, go ahead. I mean, I was her person. I'll give you one more cute picture of her. And she was a Sweet Pea. Even the very hairs on your head have all been counted by God. Every detail of your life is important to him. Where you work, who your friends are, what's going on in your life, every detail. So if you ever think that you're insignificant, if you're ever thinking you're being overlooked, you're not being overlooked by God. He's ever watching you. That song Amaze says, "He who dance over me," it's a scripture, "when I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear a sound." He never stops working, guys. He never stops working. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. And as Nancy was encouraging us, we don't have to be at a church service. If you were felt awkward, you at your own home can say, "Father, I approach you into the deeper waters. I come out of these shallow waters and I choose to come into deeper waters. I choose to come into your fullness for my life." Especially if you feel dry. Yeah, it's great when we can do it here. But you know what? It's if you start developing a habit at home where you're approaching God in your dryness, you can do it anytime then. Amen. Amen. Got a song? All right. Holy Spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Might have said that to the Jews, but he said it. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. River. Torrential river. A raging river. And it says that this he spoke of the Holy Spirit that would be given after he came, after he left. We do, Lord, we come to you, Holy Spirit. Help us get all the way in. Help us not just dip our toes. Help us just not be in the waiting pool. Help us get carried away from the banks into the deep waters where you reside. Choose to come to the river. We choose to taste and see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Next time you look at your dog or your cat, maybe wonder what they're up to, why they're in your life. Blessings.